Hi guys, I'm Jeremy Ford. I'm a reporter here for Washburn Review. I'm part of the MM426 specialized group, and I am here with Dr. Anderson. Dr. Anderson, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
That's good, yes. So today we're going to talk a little bit about Dr. Anderson's history, some of the things she's done in her prior school districts, as well as some of the great things that she's doing here in Topeka. So let's jump right into it. Dr. Anderson, let's just talk a little bit about your childhood, where you grew up. I'll let you start with that.
I grew up in St. Louis, so I'm a native of St. Louis, which is where my first principalship was, my assistant superintendent position was. It was in the county of St. Louis, but I grew up in the city, at least the latter part of my years. Wonderful experience. My mom was the first to integrate one of the schools back in the 1950s, and so that really plays a big part into changing history here in Topeka and becoming the first Black female superintendent here. Outside of that, my doctorate is from St. Louis University. That's where my undergrad is as well. I have a master's in divinity from St. Paul. I went to both St. Paul Theological Seminary as well as Nazarene Theological Seminary. And I've been in Topeka for since 2016. So I guess I'll be entering my ninth year pretty soon.
All right. So anywhere on that path, do you know that you have a definite point of like, yes, I want to work in schools, public administration, anything like that?
You know, I believe that we're all called to lead in certain ways and use the gifts and talents that we have. So I have always known that I am made to lead in the area of teaching. And that is a gift. I am superintendent, but really I'm a teacher. And so the title doesn't really matter. I have the opportunity to educate and learn from others and find new pathways to do things differently. Service has been my life's work and the work of my parents. And so I've always known from a very early age that teaching really is the path for me.
All right. And so your teaching started in Clark School, right? Is that where your first teaching school started?
You know, my first teaching position, Clark was where I was a principal, and that was my first principalship. I think I was the youngest principal in the state of Missouri back then. But my first teaching position was in St. Louis. It was in St. Louis County, in a county urban district, so a high poverty, high minority district, but in St. Louis County. And Riverview Gardens was the name of that district. I was there teaching fourth grade, and then I moved from there to truly the suburbs, area called Kirkwood, Missouri. Again, it's St. Louis County, part of the DSEC program. So they had about 8%, 8 to 10% African-American students. I was the only African-American teacher. So those two experiences really helped give me urban and suburban experiences before going into the principalship. And then I became principal at Clark School.
Yeah, so you talked about being like the youngest principal as well as one of the only African-American teachers in that district. Mm-hmm. Was there anything specifically in that position that drove you to take action?
You know, I think in every space we are, we're there to be a blessing and a lesson, and not just me. I think that's probably everybody. We just have to have our eyes open to it. So it has been interesting being the first or the only in spaces and being prepared and willing to serve in those spaces. At Kirkwood School District, where I was a teacher, that was part of the DSEC program, in that space, I started a program called Closing the Achievement Gap. In fact, it's one of the books that I've written on Closing the Achievement Gap years ago. My next book coming out is more focused on the Brown v. Board. That is, it'll be out next month, actually.
Okay.
In fact, early sales will be April 15th, and it's on parent capacity, more about the work we're doing in Topeka. All of those really speak to action. You know, there's so much possibility and opportunity before all of us in terms of the work that we can do, but for me, you know, I have the opportunity to come into spaces and to uplift and be part of the work of a lot of ambassadors of hope, and to and help show that our mindset really is our only barrier. Money's not a barrier. There are really no true barriers except how you think. And we've been able to do things very differently and transform communities by showing that we can approach things in different ways and gain different outcomes. It's pretty exciting. So taking action in all of those spaces has been part of the work that I've been able to do with some amazing educators.
Yeah, I loved that, by the way. You said a blessing and a lesson. I immediately thought, like, headline, boom, throw it in. That was a great phrase. As well as, the only barrier is a mindset. I think that's something that can definitely be applied to everyone, every aspect of life, just getting over that mental hump and making sure you can, fight for yourself to get what you need and what you want. So that's incredible. I'm glad you brought that up. So now going to the Jennings School District, right? How did that path look?
This is my 20th year as a superintendent. Again, I'll be going into year 9 here in Topeka. But Jennings was one of the places where I was before I came to Topeka as a superintendent. And, Jennings was a place in which stereotypically what you might think of a high poverty, high crime area would look like. And so we really had the opportunity to reshape how we looked at schools, and shortly after I got there as well, the Mike Brown shooting occurred. His family attended school in Jennings School District. He died on a road that is, connects Jennings to Ferguson, and he attended the school district of Ferguson. And so being part of a space in which protests and talking about race in America and equity and opportunity, that really was a place in which so many possibilities were before us to be able to change how we think and how we serve people. So as examples, in 2016, I was listed as one of the 16 educators to learn from in the nation through Education Week. Now again, there's so many educators to learn from. They just kind of picked what we were doing as an example. And part of that example was because one of the ways that we look at education is that everybody has the power and ability to serve. And so we changed everything from how we addressed homelessness. It is, I believe, perhaps one of the few school districts that has a homeless shelter for children. So we opened that, and that was just born out of need of meeting a student in need and partnering with an agency. Who knew a school district can actually have their own homeless shelter so every homeless child can go to school and also live there? And it's just really an amazing space. We opened up a food pantries. It was the first food-based clinic in St. Louis in a school. And it literally was, again, born out of need. Schools are the center of the community. And what we knew is that food was one of the greatest needs. And so I just called the food bank and asked, how do you all get your food? Can we be part of that? And they hadn't had that question before in a school system. So they set up shop. It's still occurring today, I believe, in Jennings. But those are just two of the many examples. So graduation rates increased. They were on the border of not being accredited, and then they gained full accreditation, which they still have today, and many other great things. But that was because the collective energy of parents and educators came together to transform what could occur and would occur in Jennings. It's an incredible place.
Yeah, really incredible story there. Especially so, the graduation rate, and then you said the accreditation. How immediate was that after you put in like the food bank, the homeless shelter, things like that?
When you start serving basic needs, like if you and I walked into a space and you were hungry and you received food immediately that day, you would begin to see some immediate outcomes. Now, people say it takes 3 to 5 years or 5 to 10 years. First of all, that'd be your whole graduating class from high school if you waited that long. And so we really had the urgency to act now. So our accreditation, when I came to Jennings, they were prepared to potentially be taken over by the state if the scores were any lower. So in the state of Missouri, below 50%, if you're not meeting 50% of the standards, then you are considered for state takeover. They were at like 53, I believe, or 52%. And so the improvement in academics was rather immediate. Moving from the 50s to the 60s to the 70s, it really was pretty immediate. And a lot of that was just giving the basic needs and having standards of excellence for not only students and staff, but for our families. Here's an example. I met with families, and we still do this today here in Topeka. We have listening tours. And it's not listening to respond, it's listening to learn. And what we learned are things that get in the way of being in schools, like the laundromat, or no library was in Jennings, or you have to take two bus routes to get to the laundromat. I mean, so we put washer and dryers in every school. You can wash one load of laundry a day for 1 hour of volunteerism, immediate parents in the school every day. Things like that that remove barriers were key points for us in changing outcomes. So a lot of those things were immediate, and some things took a little bit longer time, such as, you know, graduation rates. Those are things that over time improved, but by the end of year one, we saw some improvements, but certainly by the end of year two and three. It's a place that shows truly when people come together that you can transform the community in sustainable ways. Here's what you should know, and I say this for all schools, programs come and go, systems remain. So we looked at systems that will outlive me and you. The programs come and go with the leader and the budget. So we didn't focus on programs, we focused on building a system of love and support, inclusivity, belonging that's safe. And that system stayed in place through the time that I was there and through many of the years after I left.
Yeah, that's great. And they are certainly blessed to have that running with you. So I'm sure they're thankful for that. And now the Topeka school districts, I'm sure, are very thankful for what you've done. So all those experiences that you got in Missouri, you know, St. Louis area, how has that impacted the changes that you've made here in Topeka?
You know, it's been amazing. And when you say, you know, here are things I've done, honestly, I just get the chance to be along the journey and the ride and to show some ways to open up paths. But really, I'm part of this collective community, some amazing teachers and principals and a school board that allows me some autonomy and flexibility to do things a little different. You know, my first superintendency, where I was the first female and the first African-American, was in Virginia. It's where the Virginia Tech shootings took place. Nothing will prepare you for that. But what you will learn from that is that love and grace and kindness and generosity and relationship are everything to what you do, right? And that's the core of what you do, and that schools really are the center of the community. So in Virginia, for example, and I'll take this to Topeka, keeping in mind, first superintendency, you have these shootings right next door to Virginia Tech, and in that space, we learned of who passed and who died based on who didn't pick up their kids at the end of the day. And so nothing trains you for how you love on people. But that's something that's so critical and core to who you are as a leader, as a person, as a student in your case. And so we were able to transform what we did there and how we served, every school being accredited, still even through that challenge, because the way we loved on people. And so Topeka's the same way. In that we love on people in just amazing and incredible ways. There is a quote I often say from Martin Luther King. I listen to sermons every day when I drive into Topeka. And one of his sermons, he quotes many times, actually in multiple sermons and speeches, John Donne. It's from The Bell Tolls. And he says, "I can do well if you do well, and you can do well if I do well. We are all connected and part of the main." You see, we really are all connected. And so in Topeka, before I started, a couple months before I started, I visited the Topeka Rescue Mission. I spoke with social service agencies, visited St. Mark's and met Linda Brown. And when they said, "The lady on the organ is Linda," I said, "Oh, Linda Brown." I said, "The Linda Brown." Part of me coming here was to change history. I read a speech that Michelle Obama gave in 2015. Little did she know, she helped recruit me, because in her speech she talked about changing history, and we all have a part to play in that. And so we've done so much in Topeka, and I'll just give some examples. We have multiple Magna Awards. It's the highest award you can get from the National School Board Association, but they're all for equity and innovation. And so we've reduced homelessness by, with the help of many partners across the community, by over 30%. So when I started, we had 600 homeless students. We have a little bit over 200 now. So it's really over 50%, but that number can change over time. So, but definitely over 30% consistently. We have washer and dryers in our schools again. That's something we continue to do. we put in place mental health systems in every school. So all 30 buildings have a mental health team. So we're talking multiple social workers and counselors, school psychs, partnerships, mental health therapists that come from outside. It's pretty incredible, mental health mentors. So for 6 consecutive years, we had no suicides, when suicide is the third leading cause of death of teens. It's pretty incredible. That statistic has since changed post-COVID, but still we have had no more than 3 incidents of completed suicides in the last 7 years. It's pretty incredible. In the last 7, almost 8 years. Having said that, I think the mental health systems we put in place are our national model for what could be done. We have smaller than what the national ratio is expected to be for counselors. So we have more counselors than the average school system. And then there are a host of other things. And I can speak specific to things that you'd like to learn more about. But we have, as you can see in the space that we're sitting in, the graduation rate for Highland Park, which is our highest poverty school, Topeka High and Topeka West are all above 90%. They were in the 60s in Highland Park when I first started. It's just been remarkable to see what we've been able to make happen.
Yeah, when I first walked into the building, I could see all the banners up top and just loved it. And then even coming into this room, seeing just how proud Topeka is of the success in their schools. And I think part of that is what you've deemed as the human experience. Mm-hmm. Letting people know that like what they're going through, it's a shared experience. And you guys and we as Topeka are here to just help students and help families, help the community get through that, you know, one step at a time. And, you know, you've seen the success. You've seen those rewards. And so I think that's incredibly fruitful and something that I think Topeka is thankful for. And there's a lot of opportunities still yet to go. Is there anything that you guys are looking at that you can still build on here in Topeka?
Oh, there's so much. What you've just described is hope. When you talk about the human experience, we all are ambassadors of hope. And how we do it, whether it's in communications and journalism in your world, and or whether it's in education, we all have this opportunity to show that there's so much more beyond where we are today, and you get to be part of an instrument, whether it's the power of the pen in your world or voice, as we're in this podcast, or in my world, the power of collective energy and showing new ways of doing things. And so we continue to look at new ways to serve. So we have, our second highest spoken language, well, other than English, is Ukrainian. In the last 2 years, so we've become the center for our Ukrainian refugees. That's new. We were just meeting with CBS yesterday, who will be flying in this month to really shadow the experiences. And so they really are fascinated at the wraparound services that we've given. So we are continuing to look at how we, particularly post-COVID, continue to serve the mental health needs for staff and students. There's tremendous apathy since COVID for people in terms of wanting to show up. So chronic absenteeism nationwide is an issue. And so we're going to continue to look at how do we have people engaged back into the day-to-day. There's never an endpoint to college and career readiness. And so post-secondary success is huge. You're from Washburn University, and we're fortunate that we started, thanks to Dr. Mazachek, a couple of years ago. And then when she left and came back, it was great. The program was in place under Dr. Bierman as well, and with having an early college program. So we have students that they finish, we have an early college prep academy where I am the superintendent and principal. That program, we accelerate 2 years in advance your academic preparation. So if you start as a seventh grader, you will be given ninth grade content. We took the 25 highest poverty students into that, and they excelled. And so they take their ACT at ninth grade. They are prepared for college by 10th grade. They attend Washburn full time. Imagine if you had your college, your first 2 years out of the way when you graduated from high school. Now, many students don't want to leave high school and go to Washburn full time, but we do have 3 students that are there. If you ever want to interview them, let me know. And they graduate with their associate's degree and their high school diploma because we've aligned our curriculum and our college courses with Washburn. So they go to Washburn full time. The rest of the students gain their 30 to 60 college credit hours here in Topeka. by just having the opportunity to have an accelerated learning path through the College Prep Academy. I anticipate we're going to continue to grow that, continue to grow college and career readiness in a variety of ways. Homelessness and housing is a real issue for this nation, for the state. So while we have decreased the homeless population in students, we have an increase in poverty since COVID in particular. So we have over 80% of our families on free lunch. And that number goes between 75 and 80%, but that's high. It's the highest in this region for sure. So we will continue to look at ways to serve, but Topeka Public Schools has had for two consecutive years the region's Teacher of the Year. Can't wait till the next one's announced this month to see who the regional winner will be. We have had national merit finalists and semifinalists. We have multiple equity awards, so it shows possibility in a large urban district. And we've gained full accreditation here as well last year. It's a privilege to be amongst other ambassadors of hope who are exemplary educators. It's a privilege to have students and parents in this space that I just get to serve with. So the book that's coming out, May 31st, it'll be out the month of the 70th anniversary of Brown v. Board. The first chapter talks about the case, and that case is made possible because of parents. It's just parents just like you and I, you know, beauticians and a pastor and welders and people, everyday people that decided that they wanted more for their children. So that first chapter gets into that, and the rest of it is really about parent capacity, and that's the title. Building parent capacity in high poverty environments, strategies for authentic engagement, and published by Corwin. So excited to speak into a space that we don't always speak into about how do we have parents involved. I think that's going to be the main way that we change apathy in the community and change outcomes beyond what the school can do. We are all connected, as stated earlier in that quote from John Donne.
Yeah, so how has that, like, the decision of Brown v. Board, you know, being here in Topeka, what effect has that had with, like, either the decisions you've made or some of the impacts that you've seen? Is it a unique experience that you haven't seen in other school districts at all because of that Brown v. Board history here in Topeka?
Yes, and I know your listeners can't see where we're sitting, but we're sitting in this room where we have all of the pictures of the past superintendents, and then there's me. So you have a lot of white men on the wall and a few black men on the wall, and then one woman, and then me as the first black female. And so, you know, I am only here because of the parents, the plaintiffs who were parents who demanded more and had the courage to walk a path that some may not have been willing to walk. And had the support of the community and the NAACP, to which I'm a lifetime member. I have the opportunity that I have because of the people that came before me. In fact, I am so very grateful. You know, we did an equity walk through this building, and most recently, as we prepare for the 70th anniversary, and what you'll see is a lot of cultures around the building in terms of pictures. It's a piece that when I first started, you know, walked around and thought we need to have more student pictures and people that represent diversity. But what I don't see is a lot of information about Brown v. Board on the walls. And so that led to me asking, have we actually acknowledged them here in this building? And we hadn't in 70 years. So we invited them April 18th. There'll be a reception. And we're partnering with the Topeka Foundation, and I asked the Topeka Public Schools Foundation to partner to invite the plaintiffs, many of whom have passed, or their family members, and to properly honor them as trailblazers, and to make sure that we see those photos in this wall just as we see Mr. Burnett in the wall. And we're honoring his family as well. So you asked the question, does this play a part, and does this make an impact in the decisions and why I'm here? It's the whole reason I'm here. And I'm thankful for the opportunity and see it as tremendous responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required and expected. And I am humbled to have the opportunity to continue to build onto the work that others have done before me. That means creating an inclusive environment. That means creating a sense of belonging. That means making sure that all cultures and communities are embraced, uplifted. So it has played a part in everything that I do. And I mentioned my mom was the first to integrate Soldan International School in St. Louis. And so my parents were a big part of the civil rights movement, and they have an expectation of me to do my part in serving above self.
Yeah, incredible story. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for that. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. I would love to just sit here and talk for hours with you. It's been amazing, but I'm thankful that I could speak with you today. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your time here in Topeka, and I hope that us as Topekan community can just back you, support you, and do all that we can to improve our schools. So thank you all for listening. This has been Dr. Anderson.
Thank you.